Well, I'm excited about what we call Mass on the Grass or the Blessing with the Birds. That was a fun service, and I can't wait to do that again. And Pastor Zach and Kelsey, thanks for worship today. Pastor Jack, maybe you've got a new calling. I don't know. I was fishing with Jack this week, and let me just tell you how much he loves me. We go by a guy, and we're like, hey, how are you doing? And the two guides in the boat were like, oh, man, this guy next to us, he's from God. He's a pastor, and he's so blessed. He caught this 20-inch fish. He's got a direct connection to God. So me being kind said, oh, I would like someone like that in my boat. Well, Jack pipes up and says, that's funny. I've got a pastor in my boat, and he hasn't caught a thing. Thanks, Jack, Pastor Jack. He probably wouldn't have told you that, but I thought I would. Well, hey, welcome to Hope today. And we kind of started last week getting a sense of where we're headed. It's not just one thing to hear the Word of God. It's not just one thing to read. Some of it has to do with our attitude. And so we talked about last week one of the most famous sermons in the Bible called the Sermon on the Mount. And toward the very last part of that, Jesus talks about these two guys who both build homes. One on a good foundation, one on a bad foundation. And then the unexpected came. The trials and the storms of life and the sand that was shifting caused his home to collapse. But the home that was built on the rock was able to stand. And that's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Everyone who hears these words of mine, which is the word of God, and puts them into practice, and we're going to talk about how to do that, is like the man who builds his house on the rock. And so this week is kind of the next just introduction. Next week we launch into 40 days in the Word, and we're going to talk about how to build a life on Scripture. How to build a life that's going to stand even when the difficulties come. And so last week and this week, I said, hey, we're going to look at James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. And last week, we looked at 19 and 20. And this is what kind of the summation is. James says, hey, watch your tongue and watch your temper. And why is that? Well, because when you're angry and have a bad attitude, it's hard to hear. And then James says, you really want to be blessed, you got to watch your temptations. If your life is full of sin, then you're saying, wow, God, why aren't you talking to me? Well, there's a reason, because we can't hear him. And then we talked about our tone. How do we approach God? Do we come humbly, or do we come in a way that says, God, you owe me? And in order even to hear God right now, the Bible says it's not just a matter of listening, it's a matter of our heart. And so today, we're going to focus on the same chapter, but the next couple of verses. And we're going to prepare so next Sunday, we start 40 days in the Word, and a week from Monday, we start this Bible study together. And I'm already doing a Bible study program, but I'm going to put pause on it. And what's so cool about this is we're all going to study the same thing. You'll be able to inject into the app little notes. Hey, this is what I was thinking about. Then on Wednesday nights, Pastor Kevin is going to lead the adults in here while we have youth group and things for the kids going on at the same time. Exactly what we're talking about. And so I'm super excited about that, because it's going to help us grow in the Lord. So here's what James says in chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law, which is the scriptures, that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So here's the end result. Here's what my hope is. The last part of verse 25. They will be blessed in what they do. It's the reason we're doing 40 days in the Word. We want you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. I want you to sense God in every area of your life, whether it's your finances, whether it's your family, whether it's your future, your career. I want you to sense God. So James here says, don't merely listen and deceive yourself. It's like, well, wait, what do you mean? Don't, I want to listen, but the reality is when we listen, we only remember, what is it, like 5 or 10% of what we hear. That's why after today, and I'm hoping that you're intently listening, by Wednesday, you're probably not going to remember this. And that doesn't hurt my feelings. It's not like you're not listening, but it's just the reality. And so James is saying, okay, it's great that you're listening, it's great that you're hearing, but there's something else that has to happen. And he's talking about intently looking at, reading, and then not just reading, but reflecting. So what James is saying here is, hey, when it comes to God's Word, we don't just speed read it. I don't know if it was in high school, maybe it was in college where I was trying to cut corners and I did the 1 hour, was it Evelyn Woods speed reading dynamic? Did anybody ever do that? And you're like, yeah, if I can just focus an hour. You know what that did for me? What do you mean? I went through 9 years of college. It really helped me to realize that didn't work. So it did something for me. It realized that doesn't work. And when we say, hey, God, let's connect right now. I've got like 30 seconds. Let's just tune in. James is saying, you got to put it in park. It's not just reading the scriptures. It's also reflecting. Thinking about it. You know what I love about Hope Church? Well, there's a lot of things. But one of the things that I really love about Hope Church is that as your pastors, we're here to give you opportunities to grow. Not only are we saying to you, we believe the Word of God is important, we want you to be blessed, and so let us walk with you. And for the next 40 days, let's camp out, let's put it in park, let's read the Word of God and share together. Because he talks about, you know, the person who just does this quick is like the person who looks in a mirror. Well, what is the purpose of a mirror? A purpose of the mirror is to look at yourself and then make the adjustments needed before you go out in public. And sometimes we're in a hurry and we don't pay attention to things. Yesterday, I planned to ride like 30 miles or so. Aaron was going to ride 50 on our bikes at about mile 22. I kept seeing these little warnings on my bike computer. You know, floods in Bella Vista, flood warning. I'm like, this is dumb. Just shut it off. No big deal. Well, then Sharon calls me. She says, hey, Jim, where are you guys at? I said, oh, we're just kind of heading back into Bentonville. And go. She goes, it's really storming at our house. And it's probably going to get really bad and there's lightning. I said, what are you talking about? All of a sudden, we looked up to the north and I'm like, wow, that really is a storm. So I told Aaron, hey, let's go back to the car. And so he had to decide, am I going to ride all the way back to Springdale where he started? And I said, I don't know. I probably should give you a ride. So I gave him a ride home. The minute I got back on the freeway, I mean, it was like the jaws of this thing opened up and it was just pouring down rain. Well, here's my point with that. At first, I didn't pay attention. All this computer's, you know, why is it saying this? Well, there's a reason why it was saying there's a weather storm coming. And thankfully, You know, my wife loves me enough that she called me and realized that perhaps I wouldn't pay attention to the things that I should have. And so she wanted to be that voice of reason that said, I think you guys better turn around. Here's what the Word of God is for all of us. It's the voice of reason. James says, I want you to be so blessed by God. And when you look at this like a mirror, it's going to help you see how you ought to live. All of us understand what a mirror is. At some point this morning, you paused, looked in the mirror, and you tried to assess the damage that was done last night. Now, the nice thing about my hair, like I could do my hair before I go to bed and wake up in the morning, and it pretty much looks just like this. And I'm good with that. But somebody in this room, most of you did because you look great, you walked up to a mirror and you kind of did the assessment and you made the appropriate adjustments, and now you look great. There's two ways we look in a mirror. The quick glance, and that's, in my mind, just checking to see, well, it doesn't work so much now because we all wear masks, but to see if you have something in your teeth, right? Quick glance, good. And then there's the, okay, what do I need to do to look presentable? And what James is saying here, don't just glance. You need to gaze at the Word of God. You need to look at it with a little bit of an intensity and to park there. You know, when we say to kind of meditate on the Word of God, people freak out and think we're going to go into, you know, some type of a, you know, a sitting and, you know, and try to connect with nirvana and make sure our spine aligns with the universe and that. That's not biblical Christianity. What I am talking about here is saying, God, this is the mirror that I want to look at. Will you help me see reality? And then I can make adjustments in my life for the purpose that God would be able to bless us. So systematically, for 40 days, we're going to read together. And we're going to look at the Word of God. We're going to look at it. We're going to read it. We're going to reflect upon it. And I'm excited about that because I believe that we are going to see results. So Luke talks about a group of people in the book of Acts in a city called Berea. And Berea is just a little city in Greece. And this is what Luke says. The people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica. Thessalonica was another city in Greece, but he says, the people in Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures. You see, they listened, but they took another step. And they read and they reflected, or as Luke says here, they searched the scriptures. Day after day to check up on Paul and Silas to see if they were really teaching the truth. I love that. I don't mind ever if you search the scriptures and ask me what I'm talking about. I want you to know truth because the scriptures say that truth allows us to be free. James says, get into this because it's going to bless your life. So in verse 22, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. How realistically do we deceive ourselves? If you knew a lot about fathering, And you gave me instructions on how to be a good father. And I didn't do it. I would just be deceiving myself. And you see, sometimes we hear the word of God, but we don't apply it to our lives, and we're deceiving ourselves. So if I were to do a seminar on how to teach the scriptures or how to study the scriptures or how to make God part of your life, and you listened to it and you agreed with it, but you didn't do anything about it, James says that is not a lot of help. It's not going to change your life, and we just deceive ourselves. And that is not what we want. These are days and these are times where we need truth. We need something solid to base our lives on. There's a lot of shifting sand and slinging mud. The truth is, it's hard to know who to believe and what to believe. But the Word of God has not changed. It is the rock on which you can build your life. Literally, build your life. And James says, don't merely listen and be deceived. Do what it says. This is a little bit of a bold statement, but it's not entirely untrue. You only believe the parts of the Bible that you apply to your life. I only believe the parts of this that I... I did that for emphasis. Not really. But you only believe what you're doing. I mean, your belief system really has to connect to your behavior. Because we live out what we believe. You don't live out what you don't believe. You live out what you believe. The problem is, not in our society do we understand what we ought to believe. Not in a lot of our colleges do they teach us what we ought to believe. They teach us things that are contrary to the true God. Let's just back up a minute and go back to Matthew 24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. So we're hearing that again. In other words, respond to God's word. In other words, be an applier of God's word. Be a doer of God's word. Is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine, so like all of us coming together today, and I'm super thankful that you're here, but if we only listen and we don't put them into practice, it says, is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. I'll say this again and kind of repeat a little bit from last week. I have no idea what the rest of 2020 is going to bring. Quite frankly, I don't really want to know. I mean, last week was crazy again. I thought, oh, the fires are terrible. Well, now the hurricane's terrible. And then that, I don't know, whether the derecho or Dorado or, no, that's a fish, whatever that thing happened in Iowa, that was crazy. And then there was the earthquakes. And it's like, I don't know what's coming. But I know this, If your foundation really isn't solid, you're going to crumble. I mean, the COVID-19 is hard enough on us. Where do we find the truth? If you want a solid foundation, it's in the Word of God, not just the opinions of others. It's not what's popular on TV, and many times it is not what is prevailing in our culture, because all of that changes. All of that's like sifting sand. I'm not going to go through. I remember, like, don't eat eggs. They're super bad for you. Now we're supposed to eat eggs. I remember there was a time where, you know, if you wear a certain type of underwear, you're going to get cancer. And then they changed that. And it's like, you know, eat hummus. Now don't eat. It's like, well, what? I mean, you understand, it all changes. Like, this used to be good, but now, no, that's bad. And well, no, that's not bad anymore. That's good. Well, what? I'm 57 years old. Okay. I thought somebody was going to say, wow, you look better than that. And some of you are going, you're that young? Wow. I heard something about riding my bike, and, you know, Jack, he crashed Tuesday. It was great. Not that he crashed, but he tried to miss a lady and her dog and then kind of almost hit a guy coming head on. But he did a barrel roll into a creek. It was interesting. But I heard, Jack, something about guys like us. If when you crash, people laugh, you're young. But when you crash and the people go, oh, no, you're older than you think you are. It's true. But, you know, thank you for that amen. Praise the Lord for you. Oh, I know what that baby's saying. Jim, you've talked, can you cut it down a little shorter? Gotcha. We'll do it. Here's what you need to know. And I'm not, I don't apologize for this 1 minute. God's word is unchanging. How many people have tried to dismantle the Bible? How many people have tried to ruin the credibility? So many people for so many years, and it hasn't happened. This is a truth, unchanging, and when you build your life on the truth, I don't know what's going to come, but I know that your life's not going to crumble. I know that your life will be able to withstand whatever comes. Doesn't mean life isn't hard. I mean, it's very hard. It's been very hard for people in this room this week who've been faced with tragedy in their families. Life is hard. And then there's the truth in God's word. It doesn't change. It's solid. It's steady. It's not built on shifting society. Here's why you want to know God's word. So you can live life and live it in abundance, whatever happens. Here's why you want to know God's word. James explains the path to blessing. Read it, reflect upon it, and then respond to it. You say, I don't really know how to read the Bible. We're going to help you do that. But I'll tell you a little secret today. Every time you read the Bible, ask this question. Is there an error to avoid or a promise to believe? Is there an error to avoid? I'm looking in the mirror. Or is there a promise to believe? It doesn't have to be that complicated. So that's our goal for the next 40 days. And in a moment, I want you to pray just a simple prayer with me. Kind of just, God, I want my life built on the rock, not sand. I want to not just read and so deceive myself. I want to respond. I want to grow. On the way out, we encourage you. And, you know, we're trying our very best. That's why doors are open and seats are spread out. So we're being conscientious about, you know, COVID-19 and trying to keep people as safe as we can. And on the way out, so we don't have communion together in here, there's a little communion cup. And this is a huge gift. Jesus said, I'm going to give you a reason to build your life on me. I'm going to lay down my life for you. I'm going to give up heaven, and I'm going to wrangle with hell on your behalf. So when I tell you to build your life upon me, I'm not just another person who's talking but doesn't have a life to back it up. And so on the way out, I encourage you to receive communion. Jesus said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. For on the night in which I was betrayed, I took bread and I broke it. He gave it to his followers, said, this is my body which is broken for you. And then in the same manner, after supper, he said, take and drink. This is a new covenant representing my blood, which is going to be shed for you. And he said, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. And so as you leave today, the only prerequisite to communion is that you believe in Jesus Christ. You don't have to be a member of Hope Church. You got to be a member of His church. And if you've never accepted Jesus, I want to pray with you today that you can do that. And by the way, if you want to be part of our Bible reading, you're like, well, I don't even have a Bible that makes sense or this. Here's a Bible right here I'll give to you. And if this one's gone, we have others. We'll give it to you. We don't want anything for it. We just want you to be able to grow in the Lord. We want you to have a foundation that stands strong when hard times come. I appreciate you being here today. And some of you I know really well. Some of you I really haven't met yet. But I can promise you this at Hope Church. We love everybody who's here, and we care about you. We care about helping you to grow in the Lord, because that is what matters. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you've done. I care about what you're becoming. The one who's impressive here today is Jesus Christ. And together, we can grow in Him no matter what comes our way. And we're very excited about that. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you. We want to build our lives on the Bible. There are so many voices and so much noise right now in society. We want to understand simple truth and be able to apply it to our lives. That when the storms come, we will be like the one who built their life on the rock. And even though there was a storm, they were solid in the midst of it. So that's our prayer, Lord Jesus. And Jesus, I pray if somebody is here today who says, I really haven't accepted Christ. God, I pray with them. I pray for them. We give you our lives. Maybe we don't understand it all, and we have questions, and we give you what we can give you right now in faith and ask you to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us, to bring us into the family of Christ. And God, as we are going to receive communion on our way out, we want to say thank you for loving us enough that you built a bridge for us to be in this type of communication, this close of contact with you. Thank you that you allowed Jesus to die for us, that he willingly gave up his life that we might be blessed and that we might have life in you. Help us, Lord Jesus, we pray this week, to not just glance, but to read and to ponder and to respond to the living words that are written in the Bible. In your precious name we pray, amen. God bless you so much. Thanks for being here today. You're dismissed.